मूधवलापकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्। We learned the 112th, 112th and 113th shloka of Aparokshanubhuti today. Sukhe naiva bedyasmin ajasram brahmachintanam asanam tadvijaniyat netarat sukhanashanam. So Shankara is speaking about the various sadhanas, the various spiritual activities that a person has to do in order to realize Brahman. We already discussed that whatever Shankara is saying, the names, like the steps that he is speaking about, the names are very similar to that in Yoga Shastram, yet it is not the same. So Shankara is giving here various sadhana, various practices through which a sadhaka will be able to focus on Brahman. So all the sadhana that Shankara has spoken till now and he is going to speak, all of them are ways in which a seeker can contemplate on Brahman, thereby gaining aparoksha anubhavam. So unless a person is clear about Brahman, unless a person's intellect is clear and convinced about Brahman, unless he has gone through shravanam and mananam, listening and reflection, he will not be able to appreciate the sadhanas that Shankara is giving. So unless a person gets rid of all doubts or confusions in the mind, samshayam and vipariyam in the mind, unless those are removed, he will not be able to appreciate the sadhana. Not only that, he will not be able to appreciate sadhana, he will also not be able to implement it in practice. Therefore, till now, till the 100 and odd shlokas, what Shankara spoke in this work, all those are meant to be shravanam and mananam. All those learnt in the proper way will serve the couple of path that the two steps that Vedanta speaks about, jnanam, of shravanam and mananam. Shravanam is listening to the scriptures with import on Brahman, and mananam is doing logical analysis in order to get rid of various logical impossibilities in the mind. So Shankara discussed earlier in this work, Shankara discussed about Brahman in a logical way and clarified it by quoting and interpreting the scriptures, various Shruti Vakyam. So he used Shruti Vakyam, he gave various analogies or various logic as well to point out that Brahman alone is real. Everything else, the entire world, the entire spectrum, or the entire realm of world is only an illusion in Brahman. That means Brahmaiva Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman is real, Jagat is only Mithya. Jagat is not real, Jagat is only an illusion. That's what Shankara had explained. So once that becomes clear, then it is only a matter of time. A matter of time and a matter of doing practice, doing constant contemplation or nididhyasanam. And nididhyasanam for a mind which is clear of all doubts through shravanam and mananam, that mind, when it undergoes nididhyasanam, then that mind will realize that it is not there, and the sadhaka will realize that the world and the ego, the world and everything apart from the self is only an illusion, and that will be a blissful experience of complete bliss, that state wherein the seeker will be ever blissful. There is nothing but blissful. So that is what Shankara has beautifully summarized or like briefly mentioned in Bhaja Govindam as Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. Such a person will be ever blissful. So that bliss, if a person needs to get that bliss, then he needs to go through Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. And Nididhyasanam can become easier through various steps that Shankara is giving. So all these steps are meant for a person who has done enough Shravanam and Mananam. So if a person hasn't done Shravanam Mananam and yet tries to contemplate on Brahman, tries to follow these steps, what will happen? Then it will take more time than normal time for such a person, because he will be doing Nididhyasanam, he will be always contemplating on Brahman. So he will be saying that Kalam, all those Yama, Niyama and whatever Shankara says, he will try to do that. But the world will obstruct him, and since he has not done Shravanam Mananam, therefore he will fall down. And then he will again come back, again do Nididhyasanam, fall down, again do. So if Shravanam Mananam has been done properly, then Nididhyasanam, through Nididhyasanam, very easily a person will gain Aparoksha Anubhavam. So we have to remember that each of these sadhanas are meant for seekers who have done Shravanam and Mananam, whose mind is without any doubt. Even if a person asks, during the toughest time, if a person asks the sadhaka that, okay, what is reality, what is real? You are suffering now, you don't have a penny, you are almost a beggar now. Still, if the sadhaka is able to reply, everything is only an illusion. Not externally, but internally. In the mind, the sadhaka is very happy, very peaceful. Why? Because everything is Brahman. If he is able to do that at all times, then he has successfully completed Shravanam and Mananam. Therefore, it is just a matter of time that he realizes Brahman. He may not have got Aparoksha Anubhavam, but he has Paroksha Jnanam, perfect Paroksha Jnanam. So we have to remember that once a person does Shravanam and Mananam, Nididhyasanam becomes easier through the steps that Shankara gives. The main purpose or the sole purpose of all these steps, the various steps that Shankara has propounded till now and he is going to propound, are easy Nididhyasanam. So different ways of doing or cultivating Nididhyasanam. So that, like, if it is just one thing, if somebody says to a sadhaka that, okay, just always remember Brahman, it is very tough because, oh, that is, I am always doing that, I become bored of it. Therefore, different steps, different ways, different perspectives. Since the world that we are, we ajnanis, the ajnanis that we are and the ajnanis experience of the world, the dual world is duality. Therefore, Shankara is also giving various perspectives of sadhana, so that when we are living in a day, in 24 hours that we are living, we will always be able to do one or the other steps that Shankara says. And if we are able to do one or the other step that Shankara says or Shankara gives, then it means that throughout the day we are doing Nididhyasanam. That means within no time we will gain Aparoksha Anubhavam or we will become realized. So the sadhana that Shankara is explaining in the 112th and 113th shloka is asanam. So Patanjali speaks about asanam as sthira sukham asanam. Asanam means like posture or position, a particular posture of sitting. And Patanjali terms gives it two qualities, you can say, or attributes. I can't call attribute, but it's like kind of two aspects of it. He says asanam, what is an asanam? Sthira sukham asanam, sthiram and sukham. So sthiram means stable without changing, so unchanging, and sukham, sukham means, it's not anandam here, sukham means easy, that means it is very easy, it is not painful. So we may think that, oh, my yoga teacher says that I have to do this asana, I have to do Mayurasana, I have to do Paschimottanasana, I have to do Shirshasana. Due to my body condition, due to the shape of my body, I will not be able to do Paschimottanasana like gymnasts do. Like gymnasts, a person who is a gymnasts, or like women or young women who are trying to be gymnasts, they do a lot of exercise and their body is made up for that. Therefore, it's like a rubber sheet. You can bend it anyway, but not everyone can do it. Therefore, Patanjali doesn't say about all those asanas. It is in Hatha Yogam that emphasis is given to separate or different asanas. But Patanjali says about asana is any posture which is sthiram and sukham, any posture which is comfortable and unstable, stable, that means a person should be able to sit without any movement for at least 2 hours, that is asanam. So any position, whether it is sukhasan or siddhasan or padmasan, a person should be comfortable in it and he should be able to sit in it for 2 hours without any pain. So that is Patanjali's asana. Even that is interpreted wrongly, that, oh, you're doing dhyanam, you should do dhyanam only in Padmasana. You shouldn't do it any other. Okay, Padmasana is also not that good. Padmasana is only good for like yogis and all. Normal people should do Siddhasana, because Siddhasana denotes control of one's sense organs. It denotes control of sexual position. Therefore, you should do only Siddhasana. You shouldn't do Padmasana and all. People say all those wrong things, like those are wrong notions even about Patanjali's yoga darshanam. It is hatha yogam. If somebody says you to do that, tell that, okay, asanam, do you do asanam? Yeah, I do asanam. Which asanam you do? I do sukhasanam. I sit in normal position. I sit with my back straight. I can sit for 1.5-2 hours easily. That is not asanam. Asana means you should be able to do any position. You should be able to do halasana. You should be able to do, like, with Padmasana, put your hands in between your legs and then stand in your hand, palm. All those you should be able to do. If somebody says that it is Hatha Yogam, it is not Yoga Darshanam of Patanjali. The Yoga Darshanam that Patanjali says is not for body or physical strength. It is not for control of the body. It is Raja Yogam. It is control of the mind. It is through control of the mind, realization of oneself as the Purusha, different and distinct from Prakriti, from the objects of the world. So Prakriti, sorrow is part of Prakriti, because mind, intellect, everything is part of Prakriti. Purusha is distinct and different from Prakriti, yet there is a superimposition, there is a merging. Raja Yoga is the way in which a person realizes that he is the Purusha, thereby he attains Kaivalyam. He attains Kaivalyam. In Yoga Shastram, Kaivalyam doesn't mean absolute state as in Vedantam, but Kaivalyam means Purusha is completely alienated from Prakriti. So that is the state. So that is the aim of doing Ashtanga Yogam. Through Ashtanga Yogam, being able to do Samadhi. So through Samadhi, a person will be absorbed in Purusha, which means he will be able to split Purusha and Prakriti easily through various siddhis. So that is the aim. So Raja Yogam is for control of the mind, thereby going beyond the mind and removing Purusha from Prakriti. Even Vivekananda's interpretation of Raja Yoga as merely for control of the mind is also wrong, because Patanjali does speak of control of mind, but the control there is in order to separate Purusha from Prakriti. That means mind is part of Prakriti. That means going beyond the mind, it's not control of mind. So Vivekananda also is wrong in his interpretation of Raja Yoga by loosely telling that it is control of mind. It is not control of mind. It is through control of mind separating Purusha from Prakriti. That is Raja Yogam. That is Patanjali's Yogam. And in that, asanam means sthira sukham asanam. It is only that which is comfortable and painless. And that is about Raja Yogam, or Patanjali's asanam. Shankara's asanam has to be completely different, because it has to be something to do with Brahman. It has to directly relate itself to Brahman. That alone can be Vedantic asanam or Shankara's asanam. So how does Shankara define it? Sukhena eva, sukhena eva. Sukhena, sukhena means, here sukham means easily, so without any pain, is the same meaning as what Patanjali uses. So sukhena eva, without any pain, means very easily. You can say effortlessly. So sukhena eva bhedyasmin. So a person is able to be, able to remain, and not just sukham, then what? Ajasram. So ajasram means without any break. So sukhena and ajasram, Patanjali defined as sthiram and sukham. Here Shankara doesn't say a sthiram of the body, whereas sthiram of the mind. So just convert it to sthiram of the mind. That means ajasram of the mind. That means which is without any breaking. So it is stable thoughts of the mind. About what? It's not about it's not about the movie that a person saw, or it's not about one's fantasy, or it's not about one's relatives. It's not about the beautiful car that a person saw, Ferrari or BMW and all those things. But Brahma Chintanam, it is about Brahman. The thought about Brahman should be Sukham and Ajasram. It should be like effortless, painless, and without any breakage. Asanam tad vijaniya tad. That asanam is asanam vijaniyat. No. So know that alone to be asanam. Na itarat. Not anything else. Not something else. What something else? Not something else. Sukhanashanam. That destroys happiness. So not anything else, like sitting in Padmasana for 4 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours. Like after sitting for half an hour, current day youth, or youth means we all, like current day people like us, will not be able to sit for Padmasanam or even Sukhasanam for even 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, we will then look around, look to the left, look to the right, look to the front, and see whether there is a pillar somewhere. And if somebody is there in the pillar, then tell them, please, can you please adjust? I will also squeeze in. And then support your back. That is what we do currently. And if there is no pillar to support, then very easy. Like, just prostrate, put your head down, get up, go for a walk. If somebody asks, oh, I thought like I should see that Swami. I have to ask him a few questions. Or you can easily say the simple answer, I need to drink water, I need to go to the restroom. That's what we do. But it's not something but Shankara is in a way supporting us, in a way helping us, because we cannot do that. But physically doing it is very easy. We may think, okay, Shankara is telling, na itara sukha nashanam, not other thing which will lead to removal of sorrow. So if we sit for Padmasanam, if somebody says sit in Padmasanam for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, then we'll not be able to do, therefore that will cause more pain. So we'll go for a discourse, somebody will say there, oh, Vishnu is supposed to sit in Padmasanam. Krishna likes Padmasanam a lot. You should sit in Padmasanam daily. And then we may start sitting in Padmasanam. We'll sit in Padmasanam for 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Then after that, the only thought that will be there in our mind is, oh, when is it going to be 2 hours? Or it will be like, okay, I'm chanting my mantra. When is it going to be 1,000? So that I can come out of it. So our thought will be totally focused on getting out of it because it is giving us pain. Only that which is effortless can lead us to bliss or anandam. Everything else will not give us sukham. So the means of doing meditation through Padmasanam, which in turn should have led us to more and more focus on Ishvara, on Brahman, that in turn leads us to focus on our body, focus on our pain. And it's not that it gives pain only while doing. After coming out of it, then again pain for half an hour, pain for 1 hour. Then what? Next day, my legs are paining a lot. I can't walk. If I can't walk, then I can't go to the office and work. Will that Swami who gave the discourse, will he go and work in my office? He'll not. Therefore, I'll not do it. I'll skip it today. So, afterwards as well, it gives sorrow. So, that is not what is the purpose of doing all those sadhana. So, Shankara is in a way helping us by telling that, okay, not other things, not other asanam that various people proclaim, like BKS Iyengar or any other yoga master says that, okay, you should do this asana. That is not asanam because it can never give us sukham, because a person will not be able to stay in it continuously. There will be always a limit. Even there is a limit for a person to sleep on Shavasana. He may say, okay, that is fine. Like while sleeping, I can do any asana. But even while sleeping, our body cannot stay in one position. It has to change. We have to shift. We have to look at the left, look at the right, and then like fold our legs, do all those things. So even while sleeping we cannot be. So we cannot continuously have the same position. So Shankara is in a way helping us by telling that asanam is not that which people proclaim that a person should be sitting and all, because that can never give us anandam. That will only lead to sukhanashanam. It will lead to destruction of happiness. It will lead to removal of happiness rather than giving happiness. Oh, I am saved. Oh God, I learned this shloka today at the right time. Now I don't have to do meditation. Now I don't have to do chanting. Now I don't have to do dhyanam. I can just lie down and do things, because Shankara says that asanam is not external. If somebody thinks like that, if you think or if anybody thinks like that, then as a person is for, what to say, more surprise. Why? It is very easy to control the physical body. Just go to the gym, just do regular practice, do Padmasanam daily for 30 minutes. After 6 months, you'll be able to do for 45 minutes. After that, it will get increased. You can increase, go on slowly, progressively increasing. But it is very tough to control the mind. Controlling the mind. Arjuna compares controlling the mind to controlling air. So Krishna in the 6th chapter of Gita says to Arjuna that you need to control your mind. You need to focus your mind. So for that, Arjuna says, and Krishna says, so Arjuna replies by saying that Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. So mind is chanchalam and it goes after objects, things. Therefore, Tasyagaham nigraham manye. Its control or control of the mind, I consider it as vayoriva sudushkaram. Not dushkaram. Dushkaram means tough. Sudushkaram means very tough, like controlling air. We can never control vayu. We can never control air. It's very tough. Just small place and it will go away. We will be thinking that, oh, I have heater in my house, so I can sleep very well. Though it is very cold outside, it's quite warm inside because I have heater. I'll put heater on 80 degrees. I'll put heater on 90 degree Fahrenheit and I'll sleep. I can sleep. But one small leak in the house, that is enough. That is enough for the hot air inside to go out and for the cold air to come in. So what will happen? Heater will start working. Heater will like heat for 5 minutes and then the rest 5 minutes cold air will come in. Then 5 minutes heater will start running, cold air will come. In the process we will not be able to sleep and at the end of the month we will get a huge electricity bill. So that's what will happen. So even as it is tough to control air, it is also tough to control the mind. So physical controlling a particular posture, sitting in a particular posture for half an hour is very simple. If a person is able to control the mind and sukham and ajasram, he is able to do brahma chintanam, then he should consider himself lucky that he has come with lot of vasanas and he has guru and Ishwara's grace. Because only very few people, rarely people will be able to control their mind for such a long period. Even when we are sitting, even when we are traveling in a bus to a destination, it will be just 10 minutes. Within that 10 minutes, the mind will be roaming here and there. It seems like it is said that when Yudhishthira faced Yaksha, it's the famous part of like Mahabharatam, when the other four Pandavas were killed by a Yaksha because they didn't answer his question, and Yudhishthira was approached by the Yaksha to answer his questions. Actually, the Yaksha was Yudhishthira's father, Dharmaraja, but he asked one question, that which is faster, which is the fastest object in the world. If we are asked, we will say supersonic jet. Or even if it's not even that, we will say Mars, Sun, Moon, all those, or any comet. It runs at what great speed. But Yudhishthira answered the mind. So the mind is faster than any object in the world. 1 minute it will be here, the very next minute it will roam around the entire world. So if you are traveling in a bus for 10 minutes, even within that 10 minutes our mind will be thinking n number of things. It will be thinking, what can I do now? What can I do? Well, if I go home, what will I do? The next year, what I will do? Like my promotion, my marriage, my parents. It will go on and on. So if a person is able to control the mind for half an hour, then he has done lot of sadhana. Therefore, though Shankara is saving us from physical or the control of a physical posture, yet he is saying that real asanam is always having the thought of Brahman. So the more a person is able to think about Brahman, then he is able to do asanam easily. And remember that Shankara's asanam, like Patanjali's asanam, it is not something like, oh, half an hour it's okay, I'll put lot of effort, I'll put force and do it. But that's not what Shankara says. What does Shankara, the word that Shankara use? Sukhena eva. Sukhena eva. By sukham alone. That means should become effortless. So effortlessly, without, like, it shouldn't be like a person is somebody tells you that, okay, go out, go for like a walk for 1 mile and then come back. In the winter cold, a person will not be able to go out for a walk. So he may be able to go, but he'll have to put a lot of effort against it. So he'll have to force himself out to walk in the cold. So it shouldn't be forcing, it should be sukhena eva. So easily and without any breakage. So with force, a person might be able to maintain thoughts, continuous thoughts about Brahman, but it should be effortless. So even if it is for 2 minutes, even if it is for 1 minute, even if it is for 10 seconds, a person, if he is able to effortlessly think about Brahman, then that is asanam. The more and more a person does asanam, the more and more his capacity or capability will increase. That means, like a person doing Padmasanam for half an hour daily for 6 months, after that he'll be able to do for 45 minutes, then it will get increased. Similarly, the more and more a person does asanam, even if it is, though it may initially be for a shorter period, finally he'll be able to do it continuously, and that is what is called as aparokshanubhavam. When a person is able to effortlessly dwell in Brahman, his mind is ever dwelling in Brahman without any effort, natural, then such a person is a Jivan Mukta. He is a realized saint. So that is the purpose of this. And all are like the various sadhanas of japam, dhyanam, etc. are means of taming the mind. Means of, we can say, it is a way of making the mind eligible to do this asanam. If a person has to do this asanam, then he has to tame the mind. He has to tune the mind so that the mind is accustomed to doing it. So we may think that, okay, there are few people in, few Americans or US citizens who jog even though it is winter. Even in winter, they go for a walk or jog. So you may think, how is it that they are doing it? They have accustomed their mind, or their mind is accustomed to doing it, because they are continuously doing it. Similarly, when we do other japa, dhyanam, etc., and we have shravana mananam easily, or we have gone through whatever Shankara has told till now, then our mind is tamed to do this, and our mind also has knowledge in the form of shravanam mananam. Therefore, this asanam will become easier. And if this asanam becomes easier, then it means that at least during some part of the day, we'll be able to maintain effortless and unbroken thought about Brahman. So you can compare this with Ramana Maharshi's definition of bhakti or devotion or real dhyanam as Ajyadharaya Srotasasamam Sarala Chintanam Viralataparam. So Ajyadharaya Srotasasamam Sarala Chintanam Viralataparam. Sarala Chintanam, Saralam, easy or effortless Chintanam, Dhyanam, is better than Viralataparam, is higher or greater than forceful thing. So effortless, how should dhyanam be? Ramana gives two qualities for dhyanam. Ajyadharaya srotasa samam. Ajyadharaya, it should be unbroken. It should be unbroken like oil or any viscous entity. So oil or ghee. Ghee is the perfect example. Pour ghee from a bottle. What will happen? We cannot find a gap between the pour. So if we pour water, like droplets will fall, but with respect to ghee, like there will be no drops because it is continuous. So Ajyadharaya, like the viscous continuous flow of oil, and Srotasa Samam, pure like water. So water doesn't have any impurity. Water by it in itself is pure. That means the thought should be pure. The thought should be without any other thought, and it should be continuous. So that's what Ramana gives. It is the same here as Sukham and Ajasram, unbroken and effortless. We can also add that it should be pure. Pure means should be without any other thought. So unbroken, the same thought should be continued, and other thought shouldn't come or bulge in. So we shouldn't have multiple thoughts as well. It's not like we can't have multi-processing for that. It should be continuous. Though Shankara's asanam, we can say that it's not like chintanam or dhyanam. We can always have other thoughts, but they should have more priority. So even Ramana's case, we can say pure means it should serve its purpose. That means it should be the highest priority than all other things. And this asana, if a person does always, then he will gain aparoksha anubhavam very easily. In the next shloka, Shankara speaks about one of the famous asanam, which we will discuss tomorrow. Hari Om.